love Sandra. She is awesome. And I know I've told you, she's Joyce Meyer's daughter. So we are just like so honored to have Sandra coming to minister. She's bringing some friends with her, and we are looking forward to her being here with us. So don't miss that. Invite about 50 people, each one of you. Each one of you, find 50 people and say, you've got to be here. You know, you don't want to miss this. Amen. Why don't you stand this morning and turn over to Psalm 78 and verse 41. Psalm 78, verse 41. And I love this scripture. It's kind of just an interesting scripture, but it says this. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Let's hold up our Bibles this morning. Let's say it like we mean it today. Say it with Pastor. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, turn to somebody and say, I received the word of God today. Would you do that? Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I want to share something. Can you back up on that confession? Can you go back to our confession that we confessed and I've confessed now for all these years? Go one more back. So next page. Yeah, right there. Praise the Lord. I just want to share something with you. This is probably not part of my message. It may be a little bit part of my message, but I want to share this with you. Here's the thing. You know, I was talking to Holly the other day, and we were just talking about people receiving the word of God. The enemy's number one job is to snatch the word of God from you before it gets into your heart. So he does that through our thought life and through our pattern life, and he does that by trying to distract us from receiving God's word. Because when we get the word this morning, it goes into our mind, right? But when it gets into your heart, it becomes a rhema word. You have revelation on that word, and the enemy, he can't move you off of that word once you have a revelation on that word, amen, it's stuck in your heart. And I was talking to Holly there, and I said, sometimes I just wonder if people really are receiving the rhema word in their life. And she kind of looked at me, and she said, you know, babe, I've been married to you all my life, and she said, I think I'm a pretty solid Christian. And I looked at her and I said, you're probably the most solid Christian I know. And she said, well, that's because I've been receiving the word. And I thought, how good is that? When we receive the word and it becomes rhema to us, it causes maturity to develop in our life. And you know what? God wants us to be mature believers. He wants us walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. Do you know, as a believer, as a spirit-filled believer, you can walk in the flesh? And you can turn me down just a little if you would. You can walk in the flesh as a spirit-filled believer. Look at Corinthians. They walked in the flesh and they were spirit-filled believers. God doesn't want us walking in the flesh. He wants us walking in the spirit. And the way we walk in the spirit is when we receive the fullness of the word, the revelation of the word. So every time you come into or every time you're listening to God's word taught, especially a grace word, there are law words, there are law and grace word, but when you're here, a pure grace word, receive it into your heart. Amen? So a born-again believer, Holly was about to touch on this. What we confess with our mouth is tremendously powerful. And most Christians are defeated because they believe and confess wrong things. They believe wrong things to begin with, and once they believe something, then they start confessing, and it doesn't really line up with what God's word says. We have the same authority that Jesus had on earth. We have the same authority that Jesus has on earth. This week we had an opportunity to minister to someone, and before we left, I told Holly, I said, listen, I want to let you know this. We have the same authority that Jesus has. We have the same authority to cast out demons. We have the same authority to heal the sick. We have the same authority to raise the dead. I was talking with someone earlier this morning, and they were telling me, you know, my son is brain dead. They've announced him brain dead. And I said, you know, I come against that with life in the name of Jesus. I release life over that child. I release life over that son. Amen. I haven't heard back yet, but I know there's life working in him this morning. Praise God. I release life to people. God's given us that authority. Amen. We have it within us today to give it to others. Praise God. We have the authority of Jesus operating in our lives today. Not our authority, but his authority. The authority we have works for good as well as for bad, however. It's therefore imperative to open up our mouth and agree and affirm with what God has already said and what God has already given us. Our words are containers that carry either faith or fear. Our words are containers that carry either faith or fear. Fear works in the opposite of faith. Fear is an attractor. Job said, "What I fear has come upon me." The woman with the issue of blood, Jesus was walking through the crowd, and he said, "Who touched me?" And he turned around and he saw Mark chapter 5, he turned around and he saw the woman trembling, knowing what has happened, and he knew that virtue or power had gone out of her. But she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She had her faith directed at Jesus, amen? And she released her faith by words, and faith was an attractor to Jesus. Man. We operate by faith, church. We operate in faith. We don't operate in fear. We operate in God's faith. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. When you know your authority and you know the love of God, you have a sound mind. Turn to somebody and say, I've got a sound mind. Yes, you do. Amen. Listen, we talked about this. I want to address this again because there's so much talk about faith. There's so much, you know, and there should be a lot of talk about faith, because faith is the vehicle where all blessings flow. Grace provided it, faith receives it. Faith responds to what grace has provided. So we need to talk about faith, but we need to understand what faith really is and how faith operates. Turn to somebody and say, grace faith. Come on, turn to somebody and say, grace faith. We operate in grace faith. I'm going to show you in just a few minutes. Our faith is not in our faith, but in the Lord. So don't limit what God can do and has done. Don't limit what God can do and has done. We limit God because of what other people say. Sometimes it's unfortunate, but we can pick up false doctrines by listening to so many teachers out there, by giving our ears to so many different places. And you really got to discern and know what God's truth is, and especially when it comes to grace. And natural things creep in as well. Natural experiences can cause us not to operate where God wants us to operate, and we can limit God because of our unbelief. Matthew 9:28-30. Amen? Matthew 9. Let me point this out a little bit. And when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe, do you have faith, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. I love this. Yes, Lord. Verse 29, praise the Lord. Amen. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Now, I want you to know something. Jesus didn't say, do you believe that you can see? Most people would put the emphasis there. Do you believe that you can see? Back up to the other verse. Do you believe that you can see? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in him. Amen? Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Over in Mark 9, 22, Mark 9, 22 and 23, turn there, look what he says. about this young man, and often he throws both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on him and help us. How many know we serve a compassionate God? Man, aren't you glad? Turn to somebody and say, I am so glad for that. Amen. Look at this next verse. But help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to who? To him that believes. Here Jesus isn't putting emphasis on the responsibility to the man or for the man to believe. Actually, I want to read this out of Young's Literal Translation. Young's Literal Translation is the Greek. It's the literal translation of the Word of God. And this is what it says out of Young's Literal Translation. It says this, all things are possible to the one that is believing, which is himself. All things are possible to the one that is believing, that is himself. What Jesus is saying is hook up your little faith with my great faith. Hook up your little faith with my great faith. Jesus is the one who is believing, and all things are possible for him. So we hook up our faith with Jesus' faith. Come on, somebody. Amen. Man, it's so good. Galatians 2:20. Look what Paul said. Galatians 2:20. Praise the Lord. So hook up your faith with his faith. It's not about your faith, but who your faith is in. It's not about your faith, but who your faith is in. Look what Paul said. I am crucified with Christ. How many are crucified with Christ? Anybody crucified with Jesus in here this morning? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Turn to somebody and say, I'm living today. Praise God. Yet not I, but who? Christ. Where's he living at? In me, and the life which I now live in this flesh, in this earth suit, how am I living? I live by the faith of who? Myself? Do I live by the faith of my natural ability? Do I live by the faith of my natural comprehension? No. How do I live? I live by the, come on, say it with me, by the faith of the Son of God, who what? Who loved me, because faith works by what? Faith works by love, who loved me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know what that does? That takes everything off of me, as Kay was saying this morning, and it puts everything on him. Hallelujah. He's the one that does it. He's the one. Woo! He's the one that I'm living by today, not on my natural ability, but on his ability. Amen. And when we get our eyes off ourselves and get our eyes on him, all of a sudden faith arises within us. Praise God, his faith, and things begin to happen in our life. The ordinary turns into the extraordinary. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. Turn to somebody and say, he loves me. Turn to somebody and say, he loves me more than you. Come on, tell him. He loves me more than you. You need to get that revelation. He loves me more than you. Right? He loves me and gave himself. Wow. He sacrificed for me. So when you look at a situation today, listen to me. Don't ask if you can believe God for this. But if Jesus can believe God for this, don't ask, oh, God, can I believe you for this? No, ask him, hey, God, can Jesus believe for this? And you know what the answer is? Yes, because all the promises in him are yes and amen. So when you're under the law, faith cannot operate. This is why so many people get mixed up going to a faith and a grace place, or a law and a grace place. Because what happens, they hear enough law that it gets into them. And when law gets into you, faith cannot operate. Turn to somebody and say, faith doesn't operate under the law. Faith operates under grace. Oh, man, turn to somebody and say, thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. Would you do that? Amen. Let me show you this. Romans 4:13-14. You need to get this morning. You need to allow this to become a rhema word for you this morning. For the promises that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. The promises are not through the law, but how are they? But through the righteousness of what? Of faith. Look at the next verse. Man. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. I don't want the promise to be made of no effect, right? So here, let me give you an example. Let's say this. Let's say that you're believing for healing for your child or for a loved one or for yourself. And all of a sudden, a voice comes to you and says, well, you just haven't prayed enough this week. Well, you haven't read your Bible enough this week. What can you expect God to do for you? That is the spirit of the law. It is not the spirit of grace. Are you listening to me this morning? And what happens is when you open yourself up to the spirit of the law, faith is made void. And I want to guarantee you the reason so many people don't receive this morning is because they put themselves under condemnation of religion instead of putting themselves under the no condemnation of righteousness in Jesus Christ. And when you know that you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you know you're no longer under condemnation, amen, and you can receive freely from the God. Freely from God. Oh, come on, give God some praise. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So when you start assessing yourself based on what you've done, then you're just canceled your faith. But when you start basing everything on what he's done, hallelujah, what he's given you, how good he is, how wonderful he is, how forgiven you are, from the east is from the west, praise God. I wrote this week on Facebook, I said, you know, it's amazing, humans can forgive, but they can't forget. But God says, I don't even remember your sin. I've cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. When you blow it somewhere, God's grace automatically covers it, and it's cast in the sea of forgiveness, and God doesn't see you as unrighteous. God sees you as righteous, even though other people may try to bring it up and the devil himself. God wants to declare, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, you can receive freely from God without any condemnation, without any guilt. Hallelujah! Somebody give him some praise. Glory to God. Amen and amen. Do you see what happens is so many times we fall under condemnation of self-condemnation. And we're actually operating under the law and we don't even know it. And it will mess up your mind. It will mess with you. The law, dabbling in the law will mess with you. Dabbling in grace will fix you. Being in grace will fix you. So instead of putting your eyes on Jesus, you put your eyes on your own performance, and that effectively is putting yourself back under the law. So we don't want to be there. So the moment you put yourself under the law, faith is made void. And if faith is made void, and God blesses faith, God honors faith, without faith it's impossible to please God, then how can we expect to receive if we're continually putting ourselves under the law? It's all about God's faithfulness, not yours. Turn to somebody and say, it's all about God's faithfulness, not yours. You realize that when the Israelites journeyed in the desert for 40 years from Egypt to Sinai, that none of them died? None of them died or were feeble? None of them? You know why? They were living under pure grace at that time. God was bringing them out because of his faithfulness, not their faithfulness. Man, God delivered them because of his faithfulness, not theirs. They gave Moses heck of a time. I'm teaching a class, a college class, and I'm teaching it, and it's on conflict resolution, and I use Moses as an example. You know what Moses went through? Lord, how mercy. Amen. And I was just telling, you know, sharing with the class about all the stuff and all the complaints that came against Moses during that time. Turn to somebody and say, it's tough to be a leader at times. Come on. Amen. And there he was. But God was faithful. It didn't even depend on Moses. It was all about God. So when we try to be good enough, we end up being bad. You didn't hear what I said. When you try being good enough, you end up being Romans 7 instead of Romans 8. How many know Romans 7? Anybody know Romans 7? You know, I want to do good, but when I try to do good, I found that evil is present with me. I really want to, but I can't. I really want to, but I can't. I really want, Oh, man. Romans 7 is a picture of a guy under the law. It's a picture of Paul when he's under the law, and then he gets to Romans 8, the very first thing he finds out, and he discovers there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Wow! Turn to somebody and say, just quit struggling. Lean on God's grace. He's got you, amen? Praise God. Knowing Jesus is the secret. Knowing his grace is the secret to having great grace. Do you realize that? Two people in the Bible, we shared this before, the Roman centurion, amen, and the Syrophoenician woman. Jesus said both of them had what? Great faith. And you know why? They were apart from the law. They didn't know anything about the law. They didn't practice the law. They were apart from the law. They weren't Jewish. They were Gentiles. And Jesus said both of them had great faith. So don't put yourself under condemnation of guilt of the law. Walk in God's grace and receive the freedom. You can have faith that God will answer your prayers even when you fail. Oh, turn to somebody and say, did you get that? You can have faith that God will answer your prayers even when you fail. What? Say what, Pastor? Do you know God only gives us two commandments in grace? Write these down. I'm going to give you the two commandments. God replaced the 10 with the 2. Write these down somewhere. Put them in a note. Here's the two things God wants you to do. Are you ready? Two things. Number one, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. How many agree with that? Amen? Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. That's all. Turn to somebody and say, that's it. That's all, folks. That's it. Amen. Two, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. The first time healing is mentioned in the Bible, the first time healing is mentioned, is in Genesis 21 through 17. We won't go through all that dialogue, but I just want to give you a reference. Genesis 21, 7 through 17. Abraham prayed, and God healed Amalek's wife and his female slaves so they could have children. Here, Abraham had just lied that his wife Sarah was his sister. Abraham had just lied. He just blew it. He was afraid for his life. Oh, yeah, that's my sister then, man, you know. I know she looked pretty good, right, you know. Yeah, you want to take her, go right ahead, no problem. Right? He had just lied, and yet here God honors him, blesses Amalek's family there, and it's amazing because they begin to bear children. Praise God. Amalek, his wife, and his female slave begin to bear children. Wow. So, and Sarah conceived and bore Isaac. It was undeserving. It was an undeserving man praying and an undeserving man receiving. And, you know, it's amazing. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited, undeserving favor. Now, I'm not telling you you should go out and lie to prove God's grace. Oh, hey, man, Pastor said I can go out and lie and just do anything I want. I can just walk, you know, anyway. No, 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 we don't do those things because, you know, God's love is in us, right? We don't practice sin, right? Two of you, one of you? Right? We don't practice sin, right? We don't habitually say, I'm going to go and do this, right? Man, no. Amen. But what's so cool about God is God loves you where you are. God's got so much grace for you this morning. And when you focus on him, you do more right normally than you would trying to, just automatically, right? Because your focus is on him, and you know you're righteous, and you know you're loved by God, and you know God's brought you out to bring you in. Wow, man. So it was undeserving man that was praying. He didn't deserve it, but God answered it for him. In fact, the Bible says when we're faithless, he still remains faithful. God's still faithful to you even when you're faithless. Praise God. That is an amazing father we serve. That is a good, good daddy. Amen. And Abraham spoke, our words are more powerful than we realize. Therefore, we must be careful of what we say. Be careful. Watch your mouth. Turn to somebody and say, watch your mouth. Amen. Look at Proverbs 6, 1 and 2. Look at Proverbs 6, 1 and 2. Praise God. Look at Proverbs 6, 1 and 2. My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, have an oath, right? You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. Faith-filled words will get us where we need to go and bear fruit in our life and will defeat the enemy every time. Man is the spirit, right? We possess the soul and we live in a physical body. As spirit beings, we are capable of operating on the same level of faith as Jesus has, because it's Jesus in us and it's his faith and not our faith. And when we know it's his faith and not our faith, wow, hallelujah. Things begin to happen in our lives when we speak these words, faith-filled words. Praise God. Faith in the right things and the willingness to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart removes limitations. When you begin to confess what Jesus has given us, amen, you have the rhema word in your heart. It removes limitations, because there is no limitations in grace. There is no bondage in grace. It's only freedom and without limits. Well, I like flying so much, it's without speed limits. I don't have to worry about getting a ticket. Praise God, man, it's awesome. Man, I have a need for speed, right? Amen. Praise God. Man, it's so good. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man. Look at this. Matthew 17 and 20. Let's go back to Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Speaking of himself, him that believeth. He's the one who's believing. Him that believeth. All things are possible to him who believes. Who believes? Jesus believes. Amen. All things are possible for Jesus, and we put our faith in Jesus. We know he's already believing on our behalf. Praise God, man. That is some awesome faith. That's where faith begins to just illustrate itself. I love it. Amen. Look at Matthew 17:20, and Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief, for verily I say, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing is impossible in grace. Nothing. Turn to somebody and say, nothing. Nothing. Amen. Not a thing. There is nothing too hard for God. Wasn't Luke 1:18 says, we're with God. You know, nothing is impossible, right? And then look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, how many have the same spirit of faith as Jesus this morning? Come on, raise your hands. If you got the same spirit of faith as Jesus, raise your hands this morning. You have the same spirit, and we have the same spirit of faith. According to what is what? Written. So according to what is written, according to that word, and not only that word, but the rhema word within our hearts, we have the same spirit of faith. I believed, and therefore I do what? I speak. you know, you can have the same spirit of faith and say nothing and it's going to manifest. You've got to agree not only in your heart, but you've got to put your mouth into agreement with it as well. Jesus spoke to the wind. Jesus spoke to the leper. Jesus spoke to Lazarus. Jesus spoke to the storm. He spoke, amen, and things begin to manifest in the natural. It's taking from what is in the supernatural and it's bringing it to the natural. It's taking with what we have in our spirit and it's bringing forth here as manifestation in our lives. I speak to that situation and I tell it to turn around in the name of Jesus. Mark 11, 22, 23. Mark 11, 22. I'm going to try to finish up this morning. Amen. Man, I've got at least 30 more minutes. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith where? Have faith where? Have faith where, church? Have faith where? How many are believing for some family members this morning? Anybody? Come on, anybody believing for some family members? Have faith in God. How many believe in for somebody to be healed this morning? How many believe, man, there's a lot of people. Have faith where? In God. Amen. Have faith in God. Look at the next verse. Going down, praise the Lord. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast to the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he will be what? Done. He will possess whatever he says. Amen. And look at Ephesians 5:1. I want to put this up. Put it up in the King James, if you will, and then we'll go to the Amplified. Can you do that? I don't want to mess you up. You're doing a tremendous job, brother. I've so appreciated it. Aaron's out receiving his chaplaincy. God bless you, Aaron, if you're watching this morning. We're excited for you. Amen. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, right? Look in the Amplified. Look at this. Praise the Lord. Therefore, be what? Imitators of God. If it's good enough, turn to somebody and say, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you. Amen? Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. Man, how many dads do I have in here? How many dads with sons? Any dads with sons? How many? Five sons? Five sons? Yeah, five sons? I didn't realize that, Mike. Five, that's the number of grace. So, have you ever had your boy copy you doing something? Come on, anybody? Anybody ever had? Good or bad? Come on, good or bad? Be honest, amen? Yeah, it's like, yeah, I have, amen. So, it's amazing. You know, even my grandsons, I'm around them a little bit, they'll copy me some, you know? And so, I want to set a godly example before them and speak over them and bring life over them. But it's kind of innate. It's kind of an inherited thing that, you know, and they'll even take on some of your traits, and your wife will say, you're acting just like your dad. Come on, if I ever do that, praise God. I had girls. I'm so blessed for girls, man. I mean, girls are awesome, praise the Lord. And I've got awesome, awesome son-in-laws. I'm so blessed. But I don't know about you, but I want to be an imitator of God. I want to do what God does, amen? To imitate God, we've got to talk like him. We've got to act like him. And Jesus said what he was going to do before he did it, we must do the same. Amen. Jesus said, I do what my Father does. Jesus was an imitator of his Father. God wants us to be imitators of him. By believing the word and speaking it, we are saying the things that have already been established in the spiritual realm. Oh, just give me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I want you to get this morning, all right? Turn to somebody and say, get this. Come on, turn to somebody and say, get this. Get this. I want you to get this morning, right? So by believing the word and speaking it, we are saying the things that have already been established in the spiritual realm. God's word already has come to pass in heaven. God's word has already come to pass in heaven. In the spiritual realm. Therefore, when we speak and agree with God's word, we're bringing what is in heaven here on earth. Matthew 16:19. Matthew 16:19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys of the kingdom of heaven is the word of God in our heart and in our mouth speaking. That is the key to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, how do we bind something on earth? We speak it out. And whatever you bind in heaven, we speak it out. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed, and whatever is loosed in heaven, you loose. How do you do that? You speak it out by agreeing with the word of God. Look at this. Psalm 119:89. Two more verses, this one and one more. Forever, O Lord, your word is what? Your word is settled, established where? In heaven, in the spiritual realm, right? Praise God. Now, I want you to look at this. Look at Deuteronomy 11:21. Look at Deuteronomy 11:21. That your days may be multiplied. How many want some multiplied days? Amen. And the days of your children. How many want the days of your children to be multiplied? And grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-greats and greaty-great-greats and greaty-great-great-greats. Amen. And so on. In the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give to them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. God has days of heaven here for us on this earth. As he is, so are we in this present world. Hallelujah. So our speech impacts those things in heaven, in the spiritual realm, in our spirit realm, and brings those things to manifestation here on earth that we may enjoy heaven on earth. Two of you got that. Amen. How many want some days of heaven on earth? Come on, somebody. How many want to wake up in the morning without any pain, without any arthur going on in your body, arthritis? Without any headache in the morning, without any depression trying to attack your mind, without any kidney stones, without any, you know, all these things going on in your body. How many want to wake up and you say, wow, I feel like I'm 19 years old and better than I've ever felt in my life? Come on. Amen. How many want to do that? I believe when we start speaking what the covenant has given us, the covenant right has given us. We believe it, we speak it, we put our faith not in ourselves, but we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We see these things manifesting in our life, coming from heaven through our spirit and manifesting through our body. Hallelujah. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation, my healing, my prosperity, my deliverance. I want to show those things to you with long life. Stand this morning. Hallelujah. Turn to five people today. Turn to five. Yeah, give God some praise. Amen. Turn to five people this morning. Come on, turn to five people and say, did you get this rhema word today? Come on, would you do that? Did you get this rhema word? Turn to somebody and say, this was for you this morning. Amen. This was for you. Praise God. Raise your hands and let's confess what we've got this morning. Will you do that? Come on, raise your hands with Pastor. Say with me today, thank you, Lord. I receive this word. I receive this word today. Thank you, Lord. My faith is in you. My faith is in you. And God, with you, nothing is impossible. Thank you today, Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. I have days of heaven. I have days of heaven on this earth. I am strong. I am strong in the power of your might. I am well able to go up and possess that mountain, God. I speak to it in the name of Jesus, and it has to move. It has to go in the mighty name of Christ. I speak faith to it today. I tell it it's got to move in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Let's give you another hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Find somebody this morning and tell them you love them with the love of Jesus. If you need extra prayer, go back and see Crystal this morning. She'll agree with you in prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.